I want you to know that we're in the last teaching of So What, and we're getting ready to talk about reaching our world, your world you live in, and the world beyond, not just local, but global. So we're a global church because we believe that we believe we're living in the last of the last days. We believe that Jesus is coming soon, and I'm ready. How about the rest of you? Amen. Take the exit signs off from above the doors and put them on the ceiling. I'm ready. Amen. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. But we got a world and we got a job, and you have an assignment, young lady. You got an assignment, sir. You're not done. You are not done. You're sucking in air. You're not done. You have an assignment from the Most High God, and we're going to get it done. Amen. But I'm excited about a couple things. I'm starting a brand new series next Sunday called Oasis, the Oasis. Oh, you just like the graphic. That's all you like. Amen. You don't even know what it's going to be about. You just go, woo, because it looks good, doesn't it? That does look good. I'm going to talk about deliverance in the desert. There's some of you that are going through droughts spiritually that you don't even want to admit. Some of you have been serving God 56 years in this church, and you're in a drought, and you don't know what's wrong. I'm going to talk to you about how to be delivered in the driest moment of your life, the oasis. There really is an oasis in the spiritually dry land you're in. You're going to discover what it really is. Amen. The oasis. Ooh, I like it. Amen. Especially while the weather's changing. Amen. The oasis. Get excited about what God's doing. Hey, how many of you are excited about Thrive coming on Wednesday nights? You are, I'm telling you. Hey, let me just give you a little heads up on this. You know, Robert Madu is going to be the first one to speak. You know that. And the first thing we're going to be talking about is the power of the Holy Spirit in you in everyday normal life. And what does that mean? That's what we're going to talk about. How does the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you really start operating through you? We're going to be really dealing with that. And he's going to launch you with about talking about the power of the Spirit in the believer. But when you come in, I want you to know that the building, we're going to make it a little bit more intimate in here. And it's going to be a good different. The order of service is going to be totally different than what you normally have ever seen here in this church. When you walk into the building, it's going to look a little different inside of here. In fact, you'll be entering. There's going to be entry. The lobby areas won't be open, but you'll be coming through the two sides, and you'll see it. Just get ready. It's going to be an incredible experience with the Lord on Wednesday nights with Thrive. And bring somebody with you that needs more of Jesus. Amen? So bring me, because I need more of Jesus. Amen. Well, we've been talking about in this last teaching today, we've been talking about so what when Jesus talked about the parable of the seed and the sower and how the farmer would scatter the seed, how he'd scatter the seed. And the Bible tells us that the teaching was more even about soil than it was the seed or the sower. And it went on hard soil, it went on rocky soil, it went on thorny soil. And Jesus said, what you're looking for is the fertile soil. And they didn't understand that parable because really what it was about was how to really succeed as a Jesus follower in the kingdom of God. How do I succeed? And he says, what you have to be is fertile soil. But what they're wanting to know is, well, Jesus, what are you talking about with the seed? And here's what Jesus said in Luke 8:11 before you sit down. He said, this is the meaning. These are the words of Jesus. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. It is the word of God. How many know that the word of God is not something we just read? The word of God is someone we know. Because Jesus Christ was the word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, the Bible said. Jesus is the word. He is the word. And then he said, don't put it in spoiled soil, soil that is hard, rocky, or thorny. And we talked about the conditions of that. If you haven't heard the series, go listen to it. But this is what he said in Luke 8:15 about the successful soil. You ready? Here's what he said. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word. You got to hear it. And then cling to it and patiently produce. What kind of harvest? What kind of harvest, folks? Huge. Anything you have released to God always comes back greater than what you released. That's the reason why you never see me dumbing down. You mean I gotta go to church? You mean I gotta read the word? You mean I gotta give? You want me to do what? You want me to clap my hands? You will never hear me negotiating down with God on that. I am always saying, how can I up this? Because I have learned after all these years of serving God that anything I have released to God has come back in greater measure in huge blessings in my life. So go ahead and praise Him so the huge blessing of God will come down. I'm telling you. But when he talks about the Word of God, he's talking about believers' lives being changed. And he's talking about good-hearted people. Remember what good-hearted meant? It meant generosity. We talked about generosity. But when we release the seed, our ultimate goal is not to have a better life only, but how can I take other people with me that are lost and headed into eternity of total, eternal destruction? What is my job and your assignment to bring them to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Come on, how many of you believe you're standing beside good-hearted people that want others to know about Jesus Christ? Amen? Amen. Amen. Look at that person beside you and say, I knew there was something good about you. Come on, I knew there was something good about you. You can be seated in the house of God. Now, for those of you that are attending here for the first time, we've been talking about seed and that seed always brings a greater harvest. We've been talking about that in our lives with the Word and every other issue in our life. This particular Sunday, we land on what's called our Mission Sunday, where we emphasize missions. We are a church that believes that we don't come here just for us. We come here because we know others also need to know. That's why it's important to have a church in a city, a church that's preaching the Word of God. And today we're talking about missionaries because our church is not just local, but it is global. And there are people that depend on us, missionaries. Many of them are sitting in this room here today. And some of you received the little brochure with all the over 100 names of ministries and missionaries that depend on us every single month as we literally give away hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep boots on the ground, whether it's here locally or whether it's globally. And today what we're doing is we're asking God for you and me to listen to God's voice, not dumb down, not go, oh, can you believe? That's all they ever want in this church is my money. Well, that's not all we want, but I will tell you, if that is a problem for you, then you need to get ticked off at Taco Bell, not me. Because I don't think I've ever walked into Taco Bell and them give me a free Supreme burrito. I just hadn't had it happen lately. And say, oh, thanks. Well, that'll be $6.72. Oh, that's all you people want's money. I'm just gonna take this. That's all you people want. Give me my burrito. I'll beat you over the head with this thing. You never done that, have you? You never done that. Never done it. When you made your car payment this week, you never called up the auto dealership and said, I can't believe you people. That's all you ever want, my money. What I'm trying to tell you is everybody wants your money. And why is it that the enemy has so capitalized on people and God's people to be so stingy? When I'm going to tell you, that car you drive is going to be a rust bucket in 15 years. Well, wait a minute, we're in Michigan in 5 years. Why are you letting the enemy do that with the kingdom of God that's going to bring you a huge harvest, not only here, but when you stand before God? Why would you allow the enemy to ever manipulate you when everybody wants your money? But when you take what we have in this earth and turn it into souls, where moth and dust can't destroy it, where thieves can't steal it and enter in and take it from you, how many of you thank God when we stand before God, everything we've ever done for the kingdom of God is going to stand before us and we're going to hear, well done. I'm telling you, there's going to come a day when every one of us as believers are going to thank the men and women of God that said, help us go reach people for Jesus Christ. And you're going to say, I wish you'd have asked me for more because I didn't know that this many people's lives would have been changed. This is what we're doing today, is we're asking God's people, not just you, but Brenda and I will never ask this church to do anything that we ourselves are not being challenged to do. Anything. If we're asking you to be a hero, then Pastor Sam and Brenda better be a hero. If we're asking you to serve, then Pastor Sam and Brenda ought to serve. I get tired of leaders that tell you but never do it. That's like a parent trying to tell your kids don't drink, but you want to keep on drinking. Well, I lost about 200 of you. There's some other church that'll just say, just live the way you want to live. Just, they're out there. Sorry, I lost another 200 of you. Sorry about that. I'm just simply saying that God wants us to change people's lives by being generous, good-hearted people to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to take this card out. If you don't have one, there's one in front of you, or better yet, if you got the app, you'll just see it right on there. And along with you, Pastor Brent and I are asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want us to do to impact the world beyond Grand Rapids First? This is something that we are doing beyond our regular prevention giving. If you remember, prevention giving is devotional giving. It's not emotional giving. It's what we do to keep the gospel there in this city. This church is an incredible, powerful light in this city and around the state. It's been powerful. It's because God's people have been faithful to make sure that there is the ability for this church to be strong so we can be strong for others. So this is something we're doing above our tithe in devotion to the Lord as well. And it's to keep missionaries' boots on the ground. What this is talking about here, this amount, is what we have to tell all the missionaries and ministries that we support, we're gonna be there for you over the next year to make sure that you're there to carry out the mission, that you're there. This is what this is for. And I wanna encourage you now, I will tell you that there's some of you that designate the particular missionaries, you wanna do that. There's a missionary you really, God's laid in your heart, you can go ahead and do that because I know some of you do that. But this is for us to take care of all those over 100 missionaries and ministries that are dependent on us every month. And you say, well, Pastor, what about the projects? What about when we're gonna keep doing that through the year, whether it's building a church over somewhere, whether it's helping Convoy of Hope, a disaster relief, whether there's something going on that we're gonna keep doing that, because I'm gonna tell you, y'all have been crazy faithful to God in your resources to respond when there is a need that is an intervention need. And you're not just your emotion, but your heart moves with it. And we're great. And I'm gonna give you a report on what we did last year, just missions and everything, given to missionaries and doing those things. And we're gonna keep doing that. But this is from October 1 of 2021 to September 30 of 2022. And I want you to be praying. And those of you that are home, I want you to be praying. And I know some of you probably already getting ready to bug out because the music was there for you, but now it's about being devoted and doing something to change the world. So don't bug out on us. I want you to say, Father, help me to do something where I'm that good-hearted, generous person that receives a huge blessing, not only in this life, but how many know when we have eternity, we stand before the Lord and we get to see what we did for eternity. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, why should missions be so important to reach people, not just here, but around the world? Why should that be so important? Well, how many believe that every Jesus follower ought to follow Jesus? And whatever's important to Jesus ought to be important to us, right? So let's go to Mark 16:15, and these are the words not by Pastor Sam, these are the words by Jesus, the one you say you follow. This is what he said. You ready? Mark 16:15 and verse 16, he said to them, go into what part of the world? All the world. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Everybody is important. Everybody counts. And you know why we win souls? Because a soul is the only thing that lives forever. You live forever. But where will it be? To all creation, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. I didn't write this. These are the words of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus even said, he says, no one can ever see the good Father but through me. Salvation through me. Think about that, friends. And Jesus said this, and this is what the Bible, many call the Great Commission. Well, how many believe this is Jesus Christ's Great Commission, and whatever's Jesus' Great Commission should be your mission personally? Not the mission of just Grand Rapids First, but your mission personally. Now, why is this important? Because Jesus used these words all, and I love these words all, and here's just three quick points that I want to give you today before you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to do above and beyond what I'm doing now to help reach the world and keep missionaries' boots on the ground? And you're gonna hear from some of these missionaries today. Here's the first thing I don't want you to realize. Jesus said, first of all, he is commanding that all must go. And when he says all, He means every single last one of us. Look what he said. And he said to them, what did he say? Go. Now, here's what I think sometimes happens in church, and I'll blame preachers for doing this, is somehow we act like you're in the ministry, and I'm an attorney. You're in the ministry preaching up there. You're singing, oh, man, what a great thing to do. I'd love to work for a ministry, but I'm a plumber. And we put that down there. Listen, friends, every last one of us have the same mission as Jesus Christ when we came to serve him and follow him. And the reality is this, all have different callings, all of us have different callings, but the same ultimate mission. Every single one of you, no matter your age, no matter your race, have the same mission when you came to follow Jesus Christ. Look at what 2 Corinthians 5:20 says when the Apostle Paul said these words. He said, so we are Christ's ambassadors. We're Christ's ambassadors. You are an ambassador. God is making his appeal through us, through you. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. In fact, you are actually God's mouthpiece. You are his ambassador. What's an ambassador, everybody? An ambassador is one of the highest ranking officials sent from one country to another country to represent that country that is not physically present there. They become the spokesperson for that country. Can I tell you that when heaven came into you, when Jesus Christ came into your heart, you became the highest ranking officer sent to planet Earth to bring the greatest representation of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ. And he says, in fact, you speak on my behalf when you tell people about Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, some of you didn't realize how important you really are in the kingdom of God. You're his ambassador. You are sitting in neighborhoods that Pastor Bryn and our pastors can never be in. Our missionaries are going to places that you and I are sending them that you could never go. We are sending them as ambassadors, and you are an ambassador to the world God has placed you in. And here's what Jesus said, in that world that you're in right now, in that world you're in that PTO group that you're with, in that extracurricular club at school, in that biology class in the university, here's the deal. You are not a student. You are an ambassador of the Most High God. And Jesus said, you better go and do it. You know, in fact, that word go there, if you'd study it in the Greek, do you know it was not this is not the great suggestion, it's the great commission. This is not a suggestion. If you're going to claim that you follow Jesus Christ, he says, then you, every one of us, should be going into the world we're in. And in the Greek, that was an imperative, not a suggestion. He said, I command you, you better be going. That's Jesus said that. He said, Rife Coco, wherever world, it's not this pulpit, it's everywhere it takes you. You are my representative. Be careful what you say, be careful how you behave, and say something and go to them. It means go. And people say, well, you know, when I graduate from North Point Bible College, which by the way, if you're looking to go, it's a great place for you to go. So you hear that over there? See, everybody's waiting. Well, you know, when I finally, you know, I just got saved last week, and when I finally reach deaconhood, then I'm going to say something. Well, you know, I don't know the Bible all that well, Pastor. You know, I love that book, Job. That's a great book to read, that book of Job. And that one, I really feel good when I read Psalms. I like that one. Listen, it's not how you sow, it's that you sow. That sower just threw it anywhere. And quit waiting for you to have someone confer upon you. You can now tell people about Jesus Christ. He says, you better be doing it now. In fact, I'm going to tell you, the ones that usually get saved are the most on fire to tell everybody. It's some of us who've been serving God for 26 years that we have started to become silent, or we've been raised in this thing. We become so cynical. We're so afraid to offend anybody. We're not telling anybody about Jesus Christ anymore. And he said, go. In fact, the word go is not when you finally arrive at someplace. The actual Greek interpretation of that literally would read this way. It means go, and as you are going. That's what it really means. It means go, and as you are going. So that means in the routine of the day, while you're at the automotive shop, there's this old guy that you remember from high school, and he asks you what you're doing, and he talks about his life being a wreck. As you're going, you start getting into their life. It's not when you finally reach somewhere. And then look at this. Well, I don't know if I qualify, Pastor. I just don't know if I'm qualified. And so, no, no, no. Look what he says. He says, and he said to them, I like it better in the King James Version, the old King James Version. This is what he said there. He says, go what, everybody? Go ye. Go ye into all the world. What? Who is ye? Ye be me. Ye be me. Ye be thee. Ye be we. It's all of us. It's the me, the thee is in the we's. It is you and me. This is what he's saying. He's literally saying, I'm not asking Sam Reifkegaard. I'm asking you, ma'am, why haven't you gone? As you're going through the routine of the day, have you listened to that one kid who sits all by himself there in the lunchroom and no one has sat by him, no one has talked to him, that one young lady that seems nobody wants because she's just odd and different and no one has gone to her? He says, in the routine of your going, you go over and say something. Go, and as you're going, every single way, it is imperative. He literally means go, and as you're going. I like something Thomas Wright. Do you know they're really ready to get saved? Do you know they're really ready to get saved? One of the books that changed my life about not being afraid to say something to somebody or to pray with a server or just to be listening and just waiting in the routine of the day. And just like this is why the Wednesday Thrive is going to talk to you about how the Holy Spirit can use you. You're not catching on to it. We're going to teach that on the Wednesday nights, how you can actually be used by the Holy Spirit. And he's been trying to use you, but you're not being aware of it. But Thomas Rainer wrote a book called The Unchurched Next Door. And Tom Rainer did this for the Billy Graham Association. And it was a two-year research study across all demographics you can imagine. Everything, race, age, socioeconomic level. Two-year study, deep research study about the unchurched, people who don't know Jesus Christ in America. The unchurched in the United States of America make up over 160 million people right now. They researched this broad spectrum of these people who are not Christians, not people who go to church, but not people that are saved, the unchurched, who do not go to anywhere to church. They interviewed them, and here's what they discovered in two categories. They discovered that 43 million of the 160 million, 43 million right now, are receptive to the gospel and to church. 43 million right now. In other words, if you said, hey, would you go to church with me? They would go. If you said, you know, can I talk to you about something that may be the disconnect of why things seem so unsettled in your life? And you start telling Jesus, they are open, they're ready to hear you right now. They'll listen to you. They're just waiting for you to ask them to, like, go to young adults with me. Would you like to go check out Thrive? Man, it's on a Wednesday night. Hey, go to the men's group, All Access, man. It's just a bunch of dudes. We're just trying to live life together. They say if you would just ask them, they would go. 43 million right now. In addition to the 43 million, there are 17 million out of that 160, 17 million souls in America right now, 17 million. That are highly receptive to hearing and believing the good news of Jesus Christ. When I say highly receptive, that means you don't have to give them your testimony. You don't have to do anything. You would ask them, do you know where you would go if you would die tonight? Let me tell you how you can know. Can I tell you about something that changed my life? His name is Jesus Christ. 17 million would not ask you any questions. They'd immediately say yes. They wouldn't argue with you. 17 million ready right now just to say yes if you gave them the plan of salvation. 17 million. That means those two groups alone, there are 60 million souls that are ready in the United States of America. In fact, he calls them your unchurched neighbor next door to you, in the apartment, in the trailer, in the dorm room. They're sitting right there. We're sitting by them, walking by them, working with them. 60 million right now. But why is the church in America in decline if there are 60 million? Why is the church in America in decline if there are 60 million people ready? It's only got to be one reason. People who claim to be Jesus followers have forgotten the mission of Jesus Christ. Just to simply go and tell, here's what Jesus did in my life. Do you know that the majority of the churches in this town had not one person come to Jesus Christ this last year. Did you know that? In the United States of America, the majority of churches in America could not record one person coming to the knowledge and the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not one. I thank God that this church keeps seeing it happen every single week and every single day. I thank God for it. I rejoice with it. I do. I really do. Why is it? It's because they don't believe that all must go. Well, I'll just give my check and let somebody else do it. I like something that Dr. James Stewart, the distinguished professor of New Testament at the University of Edinburgh, he was correct when he said this statement: the greatest threat to Christianity is not communism. It's not atheism, materialism, or humanism, but Christians trying to sneak into heaven incognito without ever sharing their faith and becoming involved in the most significant work God is doing on earth. I don't know about you, but we've come to the place where we're starting to dumb down and we're starting to actually believe what they're saying out there, that they think that every single person who's a Jesus Christ follower is some spiritual redneck that's ready, that they're a hater. Let me tell you something. You are changing the narrative. You are bringing heaven of the compassion of Jesus and the love of Jesus into your life, and it's happening to your friends. It's happening to your neighbors. Come on, help me say, God, use me and send me. I want to be one of those that will go, Jesus, right now in real time. Here's the crisis in America, because the reality of this is that the church in America is in decline because something has been lost in a disconnect in the mission of what's happening in pastors, in local churches, and that's being translated to the people. Let me tell you, the fastest growing part is happening overseas. That's one of the reasons why one of the missionaries we support is Dr. Alton Garrison, who leads the Acts 2 journey, which is taking churches within the fellowship that we're a part of, the Assemblies of God. There are over 12,938 of those churches here in the United States of America that strategically started targeting these churches that have plateaued in decline in communities because they're closing their doors. 1,500 preachers are leaving the ministry every month. They're burnt out, they're exhausted, they're tired because they see nothing happening in the mission of God in their life. But they have come along, pastors, help revitalizing the churches. In fact, Dr. Garrison has a message for our church to let you know just exactly what we have been doing by keeping those missionary boots and those pastors alive in these churches. I want you to hear what Dr. Garrison has to say.
Pastor Sam, Grand Rapids First, God bless you for your generosity to Acts 2 Journey. Acts 2 Journey is something that God has blessed and used to strengthen churches, help them discover their mission and their vision and how they can reach their communities and reach around the world. And I just want to say thank you so very much. Without you, we could not have accomplished what God is helping us to accomplish. To date, 1,500 churches in the United States have gone through this Acts 2 journey. I just want you to know, 18% of the churches in the United States and our tribe, the Assemblies of God, 18% over a 10-year period, that's the closure rate of the Assemblies of God churches for the last 10 years. If they are an alumni member of the Acts 2 journey, that closure rate is 1%. And we're excited that it's not just going to be in the United States now. We've been invited to be part of a global movement that is going to spread around the world. So we're not just touching people in the United States, we're touching people all around the world, and you are our partner. Not that we just desire the gift, but that the fruit may be laid to your account. May God bless you, may He prosper you, and may He help you as we join forces together to empower pastors and churches around the world to fulfill the Great Commission. And in doing so, we're going to bring back the King. God bless you. Thank you so much. We love you.
Come on, can we give the Lord praise for that? Amen? Think about that. Those churches that would have closed remained open in those communities so the gospel will be heard. This is what happens when we keep boots on the ground, folks, and we are not just talking about winning people, we're keeping ministries and churches alive. They walk a whole year journey with these pastors to walk the journey to revitalize their churches so they can begin to start seeing people saved and discipled for Jesus Christ. don't know about you, but friends, how many thank God we're a part of something that's not just here, it's beyond these doors, changing people's lives. Amen? It's powerful what God is doing. But here's the deal. Why do we do it? Because all of us must go. It's imperative in the routine of the day that we go. And this is important because here's the deal. All must know. They've got to know. Here's what the unbelieving world needs to know. Here's what your neighbor needs to know that doesn't think that Jesus cares. Here's what they need to know. They need to know that we care. They must know that we care. How many of you have heard that statement? People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. How many of you have heard that before? It's exactly the truth. They don't care until we know how much they care. And here's what Jesus has done. When we respond to the felt need of people, we can reach the real need of their heart, which is Jesus Christ and a relationship with God Almighty. The problem is usually never the problem, friends. But when we address the felt need, our ultimate goal is not a social gospel. It is to change the real need and transformation through Jesus Christ. How many know Jesus? That's what Jesus did. Do you think that he fed the 5,000 people just because he wanted to be kind? Sure, he wanted to be kind, but he wanted a connection with God the Father. He wanted them to hear. But you can reach the felt need until you can reach the real need until you touch the felt need. And that's what we're empowering you. Do you know that's the reason why we brought CityServe to Michigan? That's why this church is going to be one of those points of distribution, a pod that's going to start meeting the felt need of your friends and your neighbors by you being a hero. You say, well, I don't know how to preach. Hey, it doesn't make a difference. You know how to preach. I don't have much money. I'm not here to ask you how much money you have. I just want to know, are you sowing? Are you throwing? Come on. You don't have to be a pro to sow. Just throw. Just throw. And I, you know, the Holy Spirit laid on my heart, not just for our church, but the churches in this whole state of Michigan that we're going to serve. We're going to serve. You ought to see that warehouse. One day we're going to have an open house for the whole church to come to of the warehouse where you're going to see all of the items that can be a gift that can open the door for you to bring someone to Jesus Christ and build a relationship so they can ultimately know Jesus Christ. But you know what I got to have? I got to have every person in this church want to be a hero. Every one of you got to be a hero. You need to be a hero. Every one of you. We have literally, I'm telling you, millions of dollars of product and resources that are at the hands of this church and churches in this city and ultimately the state where we can go into someone's felt need and touch it, build a relationship, and start pointing them to Jesus Christ. Come on, be a hero, everybody. Be a hero. You say, well, I don't know how to be a hero. We're going to have another hero training day. But if you went through the hero training day and you say, Pastor, I went to the hero training day, but I don't know how to work this app. Right after this service, there's going to be someone out at the servant evangelism booth that'll help you do the app. Well, Pastor, I saw the app, but I still don't want to do that. But I got a friend that needs help here that I can touch their life. There's going to be someone back there in the back if you need to have place an order. You want to place an order because you know someone's got a need. And you know what sometimes we think? We think it's always poor. We think it's people that don't have any money. We're going to look for the poor, look for the poor. I'm going to tell you, stop looking for the poor financially and look for the poor in spirit. Because I'm telling you, that guy that just drove up in his 2021 Escalade next door to your house and he sits there and you can hear their life in turmoil, you can see it. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how much money he has in the bank. I don't care if he drove up with a brand new Escalade and you got a rusted out bomb next door. I'm going to tell you, you're more wealthier than that person and they are broke and bankrupt in their spirit. And I'm going to tell you, you can see him out there polishing on a Sunday while you're getting to the church. He's polishing his brand new Escalade, but he's just as dull in his spirit as he can be. You see him over there polishing and you know that Escalade means a lot to him. You might start looking on the app and all of a sudden you see, hey, wait a minute, there's this polisher we get all kinds of stuff. There's a brand new polisher over there. You walk up to him and say, hey, you know, I saw you polishing your car. It seems to mean a lot to you. Hey, this is a gift from me to you. Our church just wants to bless you. And if you ever need prayer or anything, man, you let me know. How many know it's going to take this individual who's poor in their spirit and going to open their and say, no one's ever done that for me. How many know there's going to be a relationship that's going to start being built right there? Kids are going back to school. Somebody has a baby next door and you're sitting there. Quit looking just for somebody who's broke. Look for the broke in their spirit that need a connection with Jesus Christ. Everybody become a hero because everybody needs to know, first of all, that you care. They don't want to hear about your Jesus until they know you genuinely care about them. And my Bible tells me that the gift opens the way to the giver and ushers them into the presence of the great. How many believe we're not only going to the presence of the great, but we're going to take a lot of people with us to enter in the presence of the great through the gift that God has given us? Be a hero. You say, I don't know how to do that. Right after service, go to the servant evangelism booth, and you can learn how to use that simple little app, or go make the order, and we'll make sure that you can start building the connection with someone to show them that you care. People have to know you care. Not just in this community, this state, but around the world. I'm so proud of two missionaries, Telly and Amanda Morissette. He served as an elder in this church and attended this church, faithfully served. He's from Haiti, and he and his wife, Amanda, felt the call of God to go back to Haiti. Church, this is one of the projects I'm talking about. This is not the monthly support for missionaries, but we had the ability to go send them almost $20,000 worth of medical supplies in a shipping container to go to them to help in the middle of this earthquake. And church, you guys did that simply because of your faithfulness in giving. And we didn't have to blink an eye. We said, here it comes. Here comes the medical equipment. You go minister to the felt need of the people in Haiti who Jesus Christ loves. Y'all did that. That's because of generosity, good-hearted people in this church. But I want you to hear from Telly and Amanda because they are right out of this place. And I want you to see what they're doing to change Haiti through what they called Figgy Jezzy, which means the face of God in Haiti, the face of God. I want you to hear what they have to say.
Hello, church family.
Good morning, Grand Rapids First.
We want you guys to know how amazing and how powerful it is, your prayer and your support. Long time ago, God gave me opportunity for me to be able to come and live in this country. Year and a half ago, God gave me opportunity for me to go back to Haiti. Lots of missionaries are living in Haiti, but I think God put us in Haiti for this reason. In the side of us, it's a voodoo temple, and in the other side of us is a whiskey maker. They are actually our neighbor. And we love on them no matter what's going on.
We're able to provide hope through providing health and education for our community. We've been so blessed to be able to bring in the Tommy Hamlin Medical Center, and that'll provide medical and dental treatment to so many people that just do not have access. And then in the foundation between these containers, we're able to provide trade opportunities and education for the kids to learn and to grow. And we also work on orphan rescue and prevention. We just got on the ground, so we're working more on the prevention aspect of it and just providing resources to the communities and to the parents in the community so that they're able to keep their kids and raise their kids. We are providing jobs and resources. In fact, so far, we've been able to provide over 100 jobs just this year.
It is very, very excited. We provide men with jobs so they can go home and take care of the kids. They're not asking for anything as a handout, you know. It's just to be able to provide for the people so they can go home and provide for the family.
Enriching community relationships. There is this pervasive fear that prevents Haitians from working together as a community. So at Figgy Jezzy, we're really focused on getting the community to grow together, to build together, to work as one under community, under God. We are looking forward to God working through you and through us and helping us to help Haiti with earthquake relief.
We are so excited to get people from our community, from where the land is, to be able to go with us in the other side of Haiti. There's some people that's lost everything and that have nothing.
Now, not only are we sharing the love of Christ throughout our community, but now our community is extending that love to the communities around it. How amazing is that?
It's just very, very amazing. You guys are awesome, awesome, awesome. And thank you so much. My wife and I and the team of Figgy Jezzy, as we're saying, you guys are the team of Figgy Jezzy going to make this possible for us to be on the ground to bless the people in Haiti. Thank you so much.
Isn't that great? You guys are awesome, 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 awesome. But I want you to know that the Morissettes are awesome, and they are sitting right over there. Would you stand, Amanda and Telly, just for a second? Come on, stand up just for a moment. Would you let them know how much you love them? They're here today with us. God bless you guys. Amanda and Telly will tell you something, though. They don't do this just because they want to help people socially. They do it because they know what they want to do is get them connected to Jesus, because a man and a woman's soul is for eternity. And they want them to be with us for eternity as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what every one of these missionaries, every 100 of them, all these missionaries every month, we want boots on the ground, because they know it's not that they must know we care, but they must know Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he says, he said to them, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Friends, they have to have Jesus, and this is the reason why this is so important, us to stop and look beyond ourselves and what we need in our own life to say, Jesus Christ, these folks need Jesus. There are 7.8 billion souls walking the planet Earth. Do you know, out of that 7.8 billion, they believe that spiritually lost, almost 7 billion of those souls do not know, have a relationship with Jesus Christ. 2.1 billion of those souls have never had an adequate presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ out of the almost 8 billion people. 2.1 billion have never heard a clear presentation of Jesus Christ. That's why we send them. 3.1 billion have never even heard of the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we've got to send them. That's why we got to go just not local, but global. That's why this church is committed to keeping boots on the ground, missionaries, and even American missionaries who are training other pastors and building churches in areas where you can't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wanted to show you videos, but I can't show it to him, just to protect the lives of our American missionaries that are in places right now, operating businesses right now in countries. And what they're doing is connecting with the heart of the lost men and women and children, and through that of helping them, they're bringing them Jesus Christ. They're called businesses missions. They're going as businesses, actually helping people, just like the Morissettes, but then connecting with the gospel. And I'd love to play it for you. But just for the sake of the safety of their lives, friends, we're not able to play it. But I'm telling you, every single month, you are helping those folks be there. I do want to show you one, though. Missionary Ryan Moore, he's with Builders International. He came here one time. We were able to plant 5 churches in the jungles along the Amazon River. And I'm getting ready to let you see one of those 5 churches that we helped plant to go into places where people who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, and now there's a church there because of you all. I want you to hear missionary Ryan Moore from Builders International.
Hey, friends at Grand Rapids First, Ryan Moore here with Builders International. And I just have to tell you how much I appreciate your partnership with us. I'm here in Ecuador with my friend, your friend, Tim Anderson. Tim and Debbie have been serving over 30 years in the jungles of Ecuador in the Amazon jungles here. And we're with Pastor Victor. How do we say Pastor Victor's last name?
Moncayo.
Pastor Victor Moncayo. We're standing on the what will be their inside their sanctuary. And this church has been aggressively pursuing a construction program. They've done all this by themselves. And you're gonna help them finish this church building. You see behind me the little teal colored building. That's where they are moving from. Big vision here with Pastor Victor.
I'd like to say thanks to Pastor Sam and Grand Rapids First. This is an incredibly motivated group. They've come to visit me different times in the jungle, not far from here. Really gone out and done these work days, hour after hour, moving tons and tons of materials and stepping up to an incredible vision. This is a huge area for people. People are way deep into the jungle on either sides. It's kind of a main highway. And these people want this church for their children and grandchildren. And they're motivated to go out and preach the gospel. So thanks so much for your help and continued support to see this mother church planted right here in the heart of the Amazon rainforest.
Thank you, Grand Rapids.
So y'all helped do that. We're the ones starting that building and paying to finish that building. It's one of the 5 going into places where other people would never go. You're not going, but do you know what? Every soul that gets saved and discipled through that, the Bible tells me that it goes to your account because of those you who got involved. I'm going to tell you, their souls go to your account because of their salvation, because of what you did. How many believe this is the greatest thing you could ever get involved in, is reaching people for Jesus Christ? It's the greatest thing you can ever do. As we get ready to come to a close of this, and we ask the Holy Spirit what he wants from us, we really need to know is that all of us must sow. You don't need to be a pro. You don't need to be wealthy. You don't need to be an intellect. You don't need to have a doctorate degree in theology. You just need to throw. You just need to throw. We throw in some of the hardest places. We throw in rocky places, and we throw in thorny places. We throw in places where people are closed off to the gospel, and there are missionaries right now that we support. But we know somewhere in that rocky soil, that thorny soil, that hard soil, there's a good little patch of good soil, and people are receiving. And it's changing nations, it's changing people. You know, we really believe this, we're committed here. That this past year, Grand Rapids First, our mission giving, just giving away, blessing people with no strings attached, missionaries included. This includes what we do for monthly support. But last year, everybody, I want you to hear this, we gave away $1,241,433 last year. That's what you did. That's what you did. To God be the glory. And it's not how you scatter, it's that you just scattered. We don't sit over here and say the rich people over here and the poor people over here, the educated, the uneducated. No, we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters bound by the blood of Jesus. We are the part of the same family, and we got one mission. It's how many people can we bring to Jesus Christ and disciple them to be like Jesus, to bring transformation to their personal lives, their families, to their communities, and ultimately to nations, friends. That's what we're on the agenda of doing, is changing lives. We're going to find fertile soil, a fertile heart, even in the hardest places, and we're going to keep throwing, and we're going to keep throwing. If you don't think it can happen, then you've forgotten your pastor's background. My mother raised in Samarang, Indonesia, the largest Muslim nation in the world. When you look at this guy, you never expected that my grandfather used to keep dirt out of the mouth of a corpse given to him by a witch doctor to prosper him. You'd look at me and you'd never believe that my mother walked across dirt floor every morning and she'd have to cross the threshold of raw open sewage running under her feet as she walked out the door. Some of you would never believe that, but I'm a product of someone in hard, thorny soil, but there was a fertile heart, and my mother was there and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ because someone helped her out, and it started with a little old man giving my mom some government ration meat. It's kind of like he was the hero of his day. He got government ration meat, and his daughter told him, this man and his wife, they're arguing, fighting. They came to this country, and he went over and gave my mom that piece of government ration meat. And my mom listened to him talk about Jesus Christ and ultimately invited her to hear Billy Graham. She got saved, my dad got saved, and I'm your pastor. That's the story. I'm telling you, it can be done. I'm telling you, it can be done. I don't care how hard it is, it can be done. And I'm always asking myself, Brent and I are asking ourselves, are we doing really all we can do? Ask yourself, am I doing all you can do? Whether you work in a third shift at a plant, or whether you own a corporation, am I really doing all I can do? Whether you have a mom-pa business or you're a corporate executive, am I really doing all that I can do for the gospel of Jesus Christ? And that's the question God's asking us today. Are we really doing all we can do? Because you never know who's going to get saved. I want to close with this one video before the worship team comes and we ask the Lord to help us. Our good missionary friends, Larry and Melinda Henderson in Vienna, Austria, you remember Pastor Brent and I went there, and you remember we helped them open up the refugee center because literally tens of thousands of Syrian refugees were fleeing the country because of persecution, and y'all helped put that there to help them get placement and help them get to places where they could establish their lives. But that whole refugee center was created to also bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just helped Larry and Melinda Henderson as they moved into a mall in Vienna because there's so many people coming from different countries. We helped them buy their seats. You helped us do it. Another project, $20,000, just like that. We say, if we have the power to do it, we're going to do it. That's the kind of people you are. You're generous, good-hearted people that know that people need to hear about Jesus. Well, I want to show you the power of what happens when we keep our missionaries there. I want you to hear a testimony that Brother Larry Henderson from one of the people out of his church.
In November 2013, the ISIS attacked my whole family with a car bomb. And he killed all of my family.
So ISIS, when they attacked your family in this car bomb, but you lost everybody. Your wife, your children, everybody. How did that make you feel towards God? You know, did you feel angry, sad? How did you feel when you lost everything?
Actually, I was very angry and very sad. And I was always thinking, because we was young, our parents, they say us, they are angels, they will protect us. They were God. And I say, okay, this is a big liar, because if they were angels, they will protect not my parents, but my children, at least my kids. And I decided to get out from Syria. It's taken me 2 months to get to Europe.
Two months.
Because, you know, I lost everything. And that person, thanks to him, he told me, give your heart to Jesus. And first time I was so, I'm not sure to give my heart to Jesus. But the day I decided to give my heart to Jesus, that anger and that sadness, he took it from my heart. And I have one message for these people who killed my family. Today I will forgive you.
That's powerful, man. Thanks for saying that.
Can you give God praise for a life that's been transformed? You know, friends, I appreciate people who want to try to help mend people and mend fractures in cultures and societies. Our country's fractured right now. Do you want to know how you want to change people's lives? Is when someone who kills your whole family, you can turn to them and say, I forgive you. And that's not done by some new age cycle babble or some cosmic couch therapy of someone say, just think happy thoughts. That only comes through the transformational power of the Lord Jesus Christ changing your heart. And if we want to see things changed in nations, it's one soul at a time. And it starts by us going and us sending missionaries and say, we want to keep them there. I will tell you that when we're asking for God to help us have $426,000 committed over this next year just to keep missionaries' boots on the ground, monthly support. And this is also a launch fund to help launch new ones, because when we bring on new missionaries, we don't want to say we can't do it because we don't have the resources. I'm going to tell you, I want to tell them, yes, 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 yes. We're not a culture of no. We are a culture of yes to send people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to do today. That is the way people's lives are changed. And so today, as we close this service, I want you with me for a moment to take the Faith Promise card or open it up on your app, on your mobile phone, on the Grand Rapids First app. It's right there. You can see it. And the top portion is for you to turn in this, just saying, I'm going to ask God by faith to help me do this above and beyond what I'm doing right now in my regular tithe and offering to keep the local church, Grand Rapids First, strong in doing what it does. And just ask the Holy Spirit what it is. And you don't have to be a pro to sow. You don't have to be rich to sow. You just have to be like Jesus and just throw. Just throw. It may be as simplest thing as saying, you know, God, that one cup of coffee or that one little thing that I love to indulge in, that one frappuccino, I'm going to skip it. I'm going to skip it. That latte I can skip. And God, I'm going to ask you to help me use it to change lives. Just throw. Just throw. And on the top part there, just however you want to do it, you can do it weekly, you can do it monthly, you can do it an annual gift if you want to do it. Put your name on there, and then I want you just to tear it off like all of our pastors and leaders are doing. We're just going to take it off. And as you leave today, the ushers are going to be at the door, and I want you just to drop that in. Just drop it in. Just pray and drop it in. There's no pressure. There's no pressure. We're going to do other mission projects throughout the year. This is to keep boots on the ground, our missionaries, where they need to be. Some are sitting in this room today, and we want them to be where they need to be with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all I'm asking you to do, how many know before you can sow seed, you got to plow up the ground? How many of you got to plow it up, right? You just don't throw it. You plow it up. You plow it up. So I want you to plow today. And here's all I'm going to ask you. I want you to pray. I want you to, the first thing, I want you to pray. Then I want you to L, I want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit impresses you to do. And then I want you to do the O, and I want you just to obey what He tells you. That's all. Just obey. And in the W and plow, I want you to watch God do incredible, crazy things in your life, because He can trust you with the commodities of the kingdom. And He's going to keep blessing you. And not just blessing you here, but when you stand before God, you're going to see all the people you never even knew that you gave to help. They're going to your account, is what the Bible says, because you helped bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many believe we are involved in the greatest venture on the whole planet Earth and in the universe, bringing people to Christ and equipping them to be like Him? Come on, we are in the greatest, greatest thing we've ever done.